Praise the Lord. If you're not walking in faith, you need to be. You're not just here to come to church and sit in a chair and listen to a good message week after week. If you're not walking in faith, you need to be. The Bible's clear. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that we go from faith to faith. There's a lot of things that God has to say about faith, but we're the ones that got to put the action to the faith. We got to put action to what we're believing. God told the children of Israel when they went up against Jericho, he didn't even tell them to speak. He told them to walk around the city 7 times. He didn't tell them to say anything, but obedience. Obedience to what God was telling them to do. It may not always be speaking, but are you doing everything that you know to do in the Word? Or have you gotten comfortable in your belief where you're at right now? Because you can't be stationary. You're either growing or you're regressing. And if you're going to be growing, then you got to be applying yourself to faith. The just shall live by faith. You got to put God's word to the forefront of your eye gates so that you'll know what God expects of us. Oh, God expects things of us? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All things are possible to him who believes. Kenneth Hagin, Sr., Dad Hagin, was a man of God that a lot of us are familiar with. Pastor knows him well. And he had a visitation from Jesus, I'm not sure how many times, but more than once, a few times. And one of the times one of the visitations that he had with Jesus, he almost got in an argument with him. And he says, Jesus said, you don't believe. And he said, well, Lord, I do believe. He said, no, you don't. He said, Lord, I believe. And the Lord had to tell him, you believe as far as you can see. See, God's not comfortable with where we're at. God's not comfortable with what you see right now. Because I'm telling you, the vast revenues, if I can say it that way, and I'm not looking for bless me quick club, but God wants to bless us, whether you're looking for it or not. You know, that's his desire, is to bless his children. And what's our part? What's our part to do? The Bible says, that we faith is the way, well, actually, Pastor John said this, and I wrote it down. It says, faith is the way you reach into the supernatural realm, taking God at his word by believing his word and then acting on what his word says. Another one-liner was, your faith works by how much you know God loves you. Again, one of Pastor John's quotes. Your faith works by how much you know God loves you. Faith has to be activated by your words. If you don't speak to your mountains, you'll become friends with it. You got to speak to it. God gave you a voice for a reason. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith. You can see the evidence of faith, but you can't see faith. Faith is a believing and a trusting. A faith is getting to know your Creator. A faith is building a relationship with Him, a trust relationship, so that you will do and act according to your belief system, because you're doing and acting according to your belief system anyhow. And if you're not seeing enough of the evidence of God's word in your life, then get in the word and find out why not. God's not holding anything back from us. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God through Jesus, the Word, that's how we get to God, through Jesus, the Word. He's the only way to the Father. That's the only way we get to him. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So again, I hear people say, I don't need the reward. Well, if you diligently seek him, then you go ahead and get the reward, and I'll take it from you if you don't want it. Because if you're diligently seeking him, the Bible says that God's going to reward you. So don't be like, well, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't deserve the reward. You're not looking for the reward, but don't say, oh, I don't want the reward. Because God's going to reward you. And I mean, it says we're running the race to gain the prize. We're running for something. We're running for something. We want to gain something here. You know, and no, we're not covetous. We're not coveting things. We're not covetous. But we have a covenant with Almighty God, and it's his desire to bless each and every one of us. It's his desire to bless us. It says, so then faith comes, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And a lot of people read that scripture, and I know I did for a while. And I think I got a revelation on it. Well, you can decide whether I did or not. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the revelation of God's word. Hearing by the revelation of his word. I've heard people say, I've read the Bible 4 times, and I just didn't get anything out of it. Well, no, you didn't get revelation because of your heart condition. Your heart wasn't right. You weren't hungry. Those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. Those who seek shall find. Those who knock it shall be opened. Another familiar scripture. In Romans 12:3, interesting, it says, for God has given or dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Given to each one of us a measure of faith. But you won't really ever discover what that measure of faith is if you don't develop it. God's not going to develop it for you. He's given us everything we need in his word to develop our faith. In Romans 1:16-17, talking about faith here and the purpose of it and why it pleases God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's find out what pleases him, how it operates. In Romans 1:16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The very next verse. The very next verse. So I'm going to read that verse again. Then I'm going to go right into the next verse. Because it's interesting how he put this verse right behind that verse. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it, the gospel of Christ, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From one act of faith to the next act of faith to the next act of faith. Because you didn't get saved for yourself, friends. God has purpose for each one of you. Each one of you, God's already got a divine appointment, got somebody in your path that only you are going to be able to speak to. And then when you get done speaking to that one, guess what? You got another one all lined up and ready for you, from faith to faith, from faith to faith. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 3, That one I got to go to because I didn't write that one in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start off in verse 16. Okay. He says some other things before this, but this is where I'm going to pick it up. He says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And otherwise, the gospel was veiled before Jesus Christ went to the cross, and that veil was rent from top to bottom and split in two. The veil was removed, so that now the glory of God was exposed to everybody who desires it, who hungers for it, who seeks after it, who wants to know him. That's who it's revealed to. You have to be looking for it. No one turns to, one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. This is your mirror. This is the mirror. This is the mirror that we're beholding the Lord in. This is the Lord. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You can't separate the two. This is the Lord. When you're spending time in here, you're spending time with the Lord. And because you're hungry, because you have a desire to know him, he's unveiling things in here that the world ain't seeing. Like I said, I've known people who've read this book. He says, oh, it didn't do much for me. No, I don't know what you were looking for. I don't know why you read it. Just to say you did or for whatever reason. I don't know why you read it. But I purpose to read it. I mean, I remember when I first got saved back in that old church in Hosanna. I couldn't put it down. I read through the whole thing once. And then I started again. And then they said, well, you got to just stay in the New Testament. Well, okay, I'll read in the New Testament. And don't read the book of Revelation. Well, don't tell me not to do something, because that's the first place I'm gonna go look. And not only did I read the book of Revelation, I got a study book on it, and I read the study book on it because they told me not to. Just a little bit of rebellion I had in me, I guess, back then. So, going back to this scripture, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. From faith to faith, you've got to be doing something. You've got to put actions behind your belief system. You know, Trump says, let's make America great again. I say, let's make God's church great again. Let's make God's church great again. Let's let the world see the manifestation of God in the sons and daughters of God. Because they're all yearning. They're all looking to see him revealed. And it's not God's fault that they're not seeing him revealed. Because God has finished the work. He's done everything he's going to do. If the world's going to see Jesus Christ, they're going to see him in you and you and you and me and all of us. That's where they're going to see him today. And sidetrack. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. He's a man of God. And he has challenges in his life. Just because he's a pastor don't mean things don't come at him. Don't mean the enemy don't try to attack his faith. Don't mean the enemy ain't coming against him, trying to get him to doubt some things. But we know that he knows the enemy. But I'm just encouraging you all, pray for this man. He's being challenged in some areas right now that I'm telling you, it's going to take some faith to get through it. And I'm believing with him that he's the man for the job, that he's got the faith to get through this thing that he's looking at right now. So I invite you all to pray for this man. Praise God.
I agree.
So, glory to glory, faith to faith. Again, putting actions to your belief system. Doing something with your faith. Reach out and get this gospel message out there. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Lots of times you're not going to understand this with your intellect. Well, you want me to do what, Lord? We walk by faith and not by sight. Means we're trusting God to confirm His Word. We're trusting God to confirm His Word. I mean, I'm not going to go over there right now, but I believe it's in the book of, is it the last verse of John, where it says that they went about everywhere preaching the gospel, and the Lord was with them, confirming the word with the appropriate signs and wonders that went along with what they were preaching, is what they were speaking on. It's what they were believing. God was backing them up. They were just speaking what they knew. Now, I assume they probably didn't know as much as Jesus knew, but He was still backing up what they did know. Now, I probably don't know, I don't know as much as Jesus knows. But He'll back up what I do know. He'll back up what I knew know, because I'm going forth and preaching it. I'm going forth like He commanded us, go forth and make disciples. So we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't see it. Okay, Galatians 3 and 26. For all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You had faith. You believe. You, somewhere along the line, I know pretty much know everybody in here. You're all born again believers. Somewhere along the line, you heard the word preached. You received it, believed it in your heart, and received it by faith, which now makes you a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You received it by faith. So there's faith in operation already. You already have faith because you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised Him from the grave on the third day, and that He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly place. Everybody in here believe that? I believe it. Praise God. So that takes faith. You didn't see it happen, but you all believe it. So the reason you believe that is because you were drawn. The Holy Spirit, somehow, somebody spoke to you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and brought a word to your ear gates, and you received the word that the Holy Spirit brought to you. Remember, we talked about a while ago that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but what is that? What are they? They don't look at them as if they're anything. It's God who gives the increase. So you received it from the Holy Spirit, and you believed it, and you became sons and daughters of God. We talked about, chapter 11 is the faith chapter of Hebrews. We already talked about the walls of Jericho, how they marched around it. They were putting action to what God told them to do. They're putting action to it. And I mean, look at the victory they got. The biggest city. They had the walls of chariots raced around the top of the walls. I mean, my goodness. But they were obedient, and because of their obedience and putting action to what God told them to do, they gained the victory there. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, I don't know if I wrote that down right. Faith by itself. Okay, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's dead faith. So, there's specific instructions. God's going to have specific instructions for us, and He's going to reveal them to us in and through His Word. Things that, you know, He wants us to do. I remember I shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. I was sitting on my couch one night, and I was praying to the Lord, and I heard specific instructions, and I kind of Yeah, I know that. And the next thing I heard was, I said specific instructions. And I jumped up off the couch and I, yes, sir, what are they? And he didn't say anything else, but he got my attention. These specific instructions. So there's things for all of us that God wants us to do, and you got to have a listening ear, a sensitive ear. He who has ears to hear, the first commandment, hear, O Israel, hear, the Lord our God is one. You got to hear him. You got to have a sensitive ear to what God's saying to you. And believe me, with all of us, busyness gets in our way. Boy, fast-paced America, getting the job done, getting here, doing this, getting the material order, getting the material on the job, and it's different for everybody. You know, enemy tries to keep us busy. And so in looking for a piece of paper. I'll find it. Just give me a minute. I'm kind of all over the place here tonight as far as I laid this all out, and I was like, okay, now I got to give it an order. Because usually what I'll do is I'll sit down and I'll be praying and I'll get the word out and I'll be looking at the word and I'm writing down all kinds of things. And I say, okay, Lord, now I got to put them all in order. And, well, that doesn't always happen that way. So, Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Believe in God. Have faith in God. Believe, have faith in God is believe that God will do what he said he'll do. And that's going to take some development. That's going to take some discipline. You know, the commandment is to go and make disciples. And take some discipline to get to the point where you can have faith in God to do all things are possible to him who can believe, but that's going to take some development on our part to get to the point where we're confident that we know that all things are possible to him who believes. Now, we can say we know it, and we all say it. But all things, you can imagine all things, my God, that's a pretty bold statement. All things are possible to him. I believe in my heart of hearts it's going to take some development on our part. Spending time with God, getting to know him, having a relationship with him, to have these things come to pass. So Mark 11:23, of course, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. You know, funny he said to cast that mountain into the sea. And I was just pondering this, and it don't really mean nothing. But if you go over to Micah 7:19, it says, he will again have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquity. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but I was pondering on that. That's a good place for those mountains that are in our lives that we don't want there. Go on over into that sea of sin where God puts all the other junk, you know. Micah 7:19 says, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart. I told him in class the other day, time to doubt your doubt. Put the word of God on it. Doubt your doubt. If you're doubting the word, you know, if you got doubt in you, you're doubting it. Well, doubt that doubt with the word of God. So the word of God says this doubt. What are you talking about? So doubt your doubt. And does not doubt in his heart. That's again the discipline, development. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to develop this. You got to discipline yourself. Okay. All right. I got to doubt my doubt, Lord. You know, you said don't doubt. Don't have that doubt in there. And I'm doing all I know to do to cast it out and spending time with him, spending time in his word, being trained up by the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, by the way. Holy Spirit's our teacher. who does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. What you believe, you're speaking. What you believe, you're speaking now, and it's a result of what you're having, is because of things that you're speaking now. Faith speaks, and you can't change that. What you're speaking is what you believe. Faith speaks. So we want to say what God says. And again, discipline, 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 discipline. It's all going to come back to discipline. And Paul says, I buffet my flesh every day. I get up and I discipline it. Because he had to watch his mouth. I'm sure he did. I mean, it doesn't say that in the word, but my goodness, you know. He had to watch what he said. He had to walk this out just like the rest of us. He was a man just like we are. He had to develop. So he will have whatever he says. In Psalms 45 and verse 1, it says that your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue writes things on your heart. You got to watch what we say. In Matthew 17 and 20, and again in Luke 17 and 5 and 6, they both kind of, it's the same story. It's told a little bit different, but in Matthew 17, 20 says, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And again, over in Luke 17, 5 and 6, said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord responded. He says, you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up and by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So they were all concerned about this faith thing, this title, faith. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. But really, the Lord was saying, if you develop in yourself in my word, spend time with me, don't focus on that one word, faith. He says, the disciples one time asked the Lord, Lord, what must we do that we might be doing the same works that you do? And he said, only believe and you'll already be doing them. So we focus, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough. Yeah, well, you had enough faith to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, just cooperate with God. I mean, I guess I just want to challenge everybody this week to to step out of your comfort zone. Don't let it be the everyday mundane thing that you always do, and well, we come to church and we tithe and we're blessed and we're okay with our belief system right where it is. No, let's stretch. Let's let God stretch us. Let's let God stretch us and increase our belief system. Like I said, he told Kenneth Hagin, you don't believe. Kenneth Hagin. I mean, he got that whole campus down there, Raymond Bible Training Center. He's doing pretty all right with God. And God said, you don't, only as far as you can see, you believe. So we can all increase in our belief system. And I will find this piece of paper, I will, and then I will finish up, because it's important that I find this piece of paper. And I know that I have it, because I wrote all over it, and then it usually means I have it. Listen, let me just read this real quick. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and rulers of those of that day, they insulted and disrespected Jesus. Some of the same ways we feel it and get it today. You know, you all out there in the world, you know how people reject and kind of mock. They kind of mock you, like, you know, and they think they're being cute. Kind of the same thing. But let me go on reading. The greatest thing the world has ever known came out of Bethlehem of Galilee. And that same greatness, who will believe and receive the work of the cross. That same greatness lies in every one of us who will believe and receive the work of the cross. You have greatness in you. You have greatness in you. God sees you as a king and a priest. He sees you as a treasure. He sees you as a very valuable asset to his kingdom. And he loves and needs and desires and wants every one of you. But he's not satisfied with where we are right now, me, all of us. He wants to get more to us. More what? More revelation. More power. More love. More blessings. So that we can be an example to the world out there who's mocking the church right now. Let's make the church great again. Let's make the world, you know, take a double. Whoa, what's going on over there in that church? God resides over there. God resides in those people that go over there. And it'll become evident. They'll see it. I told you I found that piece of paper. I just want to read this. And I think we're going to get out of here. Hebrews 11:6. Let me just, I know I read it, but I want to reread it because it goes with this piece of paper that I'm reading. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, who, him, God. It's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God through Jesus the Word must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay. So, since faith pleases God, it makes perfect sense that he desires to help his children obtain a deeper and more mature faith. Since faith pleases God, he desires for his children to obtain a deeper and more mature faith. We can't see the outcome. The just shall live by faith. This is for we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't see the outcome. We walk by faith and not by sight. We got to trust. It's a trust relationship with God. You don't always know the results, but if you're being obedient and trusting in God and walking in faith, he'll do his part. He'll back up his word. It says, we can't always see the outcome, but God always can. God knows why he's leading you to do the things he wants you to do. He sees the outcome. He knows why he wants you to go over to that hospital. God knows why he wants you to go over there. Or wherever it is God's sending you. He knows why he wants you to go. He sees the outcome. We just have to get to the point that we fully trust God to work on our behalf. God is omniscient and he's omnipresent. So he can be everywhere, hear every prayer, and meet every need all at the same time. He sees the big picture of how everything fits together and knows exactly who he wants to use for a particular task. When he chooses you for something, it's because he knows you are capable of handling it and you are the best person suited for the job. When God tells us to do something that is way out of our comfort zone, most of us tend to look at our flaws, our faults, our shortcomings, and tell him that you must have picked the wrong person. Because we can't imagine that God would ever be capable of doing something of such great magnitude. It takes faith to do some of the things. That's why you got to develop your faith. You got to develop that trust relationship. You got to commune with the Father daily. Imagine we could ever be capable. From my own experience, I have found that the times of my greatest growth are the ones where I have been the most out of my comfort zone. And I know I can trust God with my life, even if I don't always know the direction he has taken me for a time. So when you have completed one task of faith, he has another one for you to start. The next time you feel you are being stretched to the faith limit, remember that is how you grow as a Christian. Then remember that God wants to stretch and grow you so that you can be used for His glory. It is a simple matter of believing that what God has said will come to pass. And that's my message on faith tonight. And I prayed about this message. I didn't choose this message. I was going through some stuff, and it was like the Lord said, "You're going to talk on that." And I said, "Lord, that's kind of meat and potatoes. That's not really a chandelier swinging, jumping off the ceiling type service. That's kind of a meat and potatoes where, it's discipling. It's discipling. You know, developing our faith. We've all been given the same measure of faith, but we have to develop it. God's no respecter of persons. What He do for one, He'll do for another. And all things are possible to him who believes." So, if it's proper to say it or not, I'm going to say it. Lord, increase my belief system. I want to see more. If He killed Kenneth Hagin, you believe as far as you can see. And then I'm saying, Lord, I want to believe more. I want to believe more than what I've already been believing. I don't want to be comfortable just coming to church and just accepting what's here and not expecting any more. I want to be expecting more from my belief system so that I can do more for the kingdom of God. And that, to me personally, that should be every one of us in here. We all should want to do more for His kingdom, for His purpose. What WWPG, what would please God? And it would please God that if we would step out in faith, out of our comfort zone, and maybe minister, witness, or whatever it is that God's putting on your heart to do. Because now I'm really telling on myself, and this hurts me. But I had to repent, and I had to get before God, and it bothered me a little bit. This young man that I knew, just this summer, folks, I met him at the store. I said, "I got to get your phone number. I really got to call you. I really got to talk to you." And he gave me his phone number, and he said, "Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to it." And, a few weeks went by, and you're busy, and stuff going on, and you're busy. He passed away this summer. I never made that phone call. But praise God, I'm not gonna live in condemnation. I'm gonna try to learn from my mistakes. You know, God put it on my heart to ask this guy for his phone number, and then I didn't do anything with it. You know, and telling on me. But God still loves me. You know, and praise God. I just got to be more sensitive, and I've got to, the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And that includes getting out of your comfort zone and doing those things. And don't be too busy to do them. If God's putting it on your heart to do them, make every attempt to try to make it happen, to do it. So let's do more for the kingdom, and let's make the church great. Praise God. Thank you all. Praise God.